Hi, Gail Momash here for Youth for Justice, first Thursdays here on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills and beyond. And be aware, opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. I'm kind of leading the show because we have some time-sensitive information, man. Today is June 6th, and the second listening session, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., so you got a half hour if you're listening to it, and you're interested in joining a recovery listening session for Magalia Upper Ridge. That's going to be at Seventh Day Adventist Church, 15204 Skyway, Magalia, California. Once again, that's a listening session. Your inputs and ideas in the planning process for the recovery and be building on the Upper Ridge are important. You can help make a difference, and you can get over there. 6:30 they start, 8:30 they end, 15204 Skyway, Magalia, California. And the first person I thought when I read this is my good friend and host of the show, Isaac Hempstead, who just got the news that he's going to have his property cleared out. And man, it was so exciting to get that first hand at Blackbird yesterday. Isaac, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm very happy about that. And I hope people go to that meeting and figure out how this all works out, because it's all new to me too.
All righty. Take it away.
All right. So today we've got the last day of school for a lot of kids here in Chico and around the area. So I figured, since it's the Youth for Justice show, I have to play some Alice Cooper, School's Out. Someone probably already played it today on a lot of stations, maybe even here. But that's what we're going to do right now, because school's out for the summer.
Yeah.
Alrighty, that was Alice Cooper with Schools Out. And since we're on the topic of school being out, some of you might know about Greta Thunberg. She is a teenager in Sweden who cut school last year to start doing climate change activism. And today I kind of want to read a longer article from The Guardian, which goes over what she's done. This is by Jonathan Watts. And the article is called Greta Thunberg, Schoolgirl Climate Change Warrior. Some people can let things go. I can't. And I wanted to read this because as these kids are getting out of school this year, after the fires that happened around here, and just all the climate change news that's coming out, I think it's really important that we look at how climate change is really affecting young people and giving them a future that's a lot bleaker than what I was looking at when I was a kid. I've got my friend Nicholas in studio.
Hello, how are you doing?
So what's your radio show?
Well, I do a radio show called The Big Idea at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays, and we do a local look at public policy, and right now we're talking about housing.
All right. Have you talked about climate change before?
We haven't, actually. We did one show, I think. We haven't touched on it heavily, though.
Okay. Well, we're about to right now.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
So, here we go. One day last summer, aged 15, she skipped school, sat down outside the Swedish parliament, and inadvertently kicked off a global movement. Greta Thunberg cut a frail and lonely figure when she started a school strike for the climate outside the Swedish parliament building last August. Her parents tried to dissuade her. Classmates declined to join. Passersby expressed pity and bemusement at the sight of the then unknown 15-year-old sitting on the cobblestones with a hand-painted banner. Eight months on, the picture could not be more different. The big pigtailed teenager is feted across the world as a model of determination, inspiration, and positive action. National presidents and corporate executives line up to be criticized by her face to face. Her school strike for climate, in Swedish, I believe, banner has been translated into dozens of languages, and most striking of all, the loner is now anything but alone. On 15 March, when she returned to the cobblestones, as she has done almost every Friday in rain, sun, ice, and snow, it will be as a figurehead for a vast and growing movement. The global climate strike this Friday is geared up to be one of the biggest environmental protests the world's ever seen. As it approaches, Thunberg is clearly excited. It's amazing, she says. It's more than 71 countries, more than 700 places, and counting. It's increasing very much now, and that's very, very fun. A year ago, this was unimaginable. Back then, Thunberg was a painfully introverted, slightly built nobody, walking at 6 a.m. to prepare for school and headed back home at 3 p.m. Nothing really was happening in her life, she recalls. I've always been that girl in the back who doesn't say anything. I thought I couldn't make a difference because I was too small. She was never quite like the other kids. Her mother, Malena Ernman, is one of Sweden's most celebrated opera singers. Her father, Svante Thunberg, is an actor and author named after Svante Arrhenius, the Nobel Prize-winning scientist who in 1896 first calculated how carbon dioxide emissions could lead to the greenhouse effect. Greta was exceptionally bright. 4 years ago, she was diagnosed with Asperger's. I overthink. Some people can just let things go, but I can't, especially if there's something that worries me or makes me sad. I remember when I was younger and in school, our teachers showed us films of plastic in the ocean, starving polar bears, and so on. I cried through all the movies. My classmates were concerned when they watched the films, but when it stopped, they started thinking about other things. I couldn't do that. Those pictures were stuck in my head. She has come to accept this as a part of who she is and made it a motivating force instead of a source of paralyzing depression, which it once was. At about the age of 8, when she first learned about climate change, she was shocked that adults did not appear to be taking the issue seriously. It was not the only reason she became depressed a few years later, but it was a significant factor. I kept thinking about it, and I just wondered if I am going to have a future. And I kept that to myself because I'm not very much of a talker, and that wasn't healthy. I became very depressed and stopped going to school. When I was home, my parents took care of me, and we started talking because we had nothing else to do. And then I told them about my worries and concerns about the climate crisis and the environment, and it felt good to just get that off my chest. They just told me everything would be all right. That didn't help, of course, but it was good to talk. And then I kept on going, talking about this all the time and showing my parents pictures, graphs, films, articles, and reports. And after a while, they started listening to what I actually said. That's when I kind of realized I could make a difference. And how I got out of that depression was that I thought, it is just a waste of time feeling this way because I can do so much good with my life. I'm trying to do that still now. Her parents were the guinea pigs. She discovered she had remarkable powers of persuasion, and her mother gave up flying, which had a severe packing impact on her career. Her father became a vegetarian, as well as feeling relieved by the transformation of their formerly quiet and morose daughter. They say they were persuaded by her reasoning. "Over the years, I ran out of arguments," says her father. "She kept showing us documentaries, and we read books together. Before that, I really didn't have a clue. I thought we had the climate issue sorted," he said. "She changed us, and now she is changing a great many other people. There was no hint of this in her childhood. It's unbelievable. If this can happen, anything can happen." So, cool.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I know I've seen her on Facebook in a lot of memes. I didn't know, or memes, however you want to pronounce that. I didn't know the whole story behind her transformation. I have Asperger's myself, so I understand how challenging it is to kind of get around those symptoms and get around the barriers that are there, and I think she did a good job of using the challenges that she faced to her advantage.
Heck yeah, like, I didn't know any of this before today. Like, I'd seen her too, and I think it's great that she's a young person, but also to have background in parents who were another Nobel Prize winner. I don't know if she won it that yet, but her grandpa being involved in climate change research before, and like, I don't know, this is pretty interesting so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm riveted.
Heck yeah. All right. The climate strike was inspired by students from Parkland School in Florida who walked out of classes in protest against the U.S. gun laws that enabled the massacre on their campus. Greta was a part of a group that wanted to do something similar to raise awareness about climate change, but they couldn't agree what. Last summer, after a record heat wave in northern Europe and forest fires that ravaged swaths of Swedish land up to the Arctic, Thunberg decided to go alone. Day one was 20 August 2018. I painted the sign on a piece of wood and, for the flyers, wrote down some facts I thought everyone should know. "And then I took my bike to the parliament and just sat there," she recalls. "The first day, I sat alone from about 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m., the regular school day. And then on the second day, people started joining me. After that, there were people there all the time." She kept her promise to strike every day until the Swedish national elections. Afterwards, she agreed to make a speech in front of thousands of people at the People's Climate March rally. Her parents were reluctant. Knowing Thunberg had been so reticent that she had previously been diagnosed with selective mutism, they tried to talk her out of it, but the teenager was determined. "In some cases, where I am really passionate, I will not change my mind," she says. Excuse me. Despite her family's concerns, she delivered the address in nearly flawless English and invited the crowd to film her on their mobile phones and spread the message through social media. I cried, says her proud dad. People with selective mutism have a tendency to worry more than others. Thunberg has since weaponized this in meetings with political leaders and with billionaire entrepreneurs in Davos. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. And then I want you to act, she told them. Such tongue lashings had gone down well. Many politicians laud her candidness. In return, she listens to their claims that stronger climate policies are unrealistic unless the public makes the issue more of a priority. She is unconvinced. They are still not doing anything, so I don't really know why they are supporting us, because we are criticizing them. It's kind of weird. She has also been withering about leaders in the US, UK, and Australia who either ignore the strikers or admonish them for skipping classes. They are desperately trying to change the subject whenever the school strikes come up. They know they can't win this fight because they haven't done anything. I agree with that. And they might be doing the opposite of what they need to be doing, but I digress. Such blunt talk has found a broad audience among people jaded by empty promises and eager to find a climate leader willing to ramp up ambition. Thunberg's rise coincides with growing scientific concern. A slew of recent reports have warned oceans are heating and the pole melting faster than expected. Last year, UN intergovernmental panels on climate change spelled out the dangers of surpassing 1.5 Celsius of global warming. To have any change of avoiding that outcome, it says, emissions must fall rapidly by 2030. That's in 11 years.
Yeah, not long. Not long at all.
That will require far more pressure on politicians, and nobody has proven more effective at that over the past 8 months than Thunberg. The girl who once slipped into despair is now a beacon of hope. One after another, veteran campaigners and grizzled scientists have described her as the best news for the climate movement in decades. She has been lauded at the UN, met the French president, Emmanuel Macron, shared a podium with the European Commission president, Jean-Claude Juncker, and has been endorsed by the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel. You may think this would put the weight of the world on the 16-year-old's shoulders, but she claims to feel no pressure. If people are so desperate for hope, she says that is not her or the other strikers' responsibility. I don't care if what I'm doing, what we're doing is hopeful. We need to do it anyway. Even if there's no hope left and everything is hopeless, we must do what we can. In this regard, her family sees her Asperger's as a blessing. She is someone who strips away social distractions and focuses with black and white clarity on the issues. It's nothing that I want to change about me, she says. It's just who I am. If I had been just like everyone else and been social, then I would have just tried to start an organization. But I couldn't do that. I'm not very good with people. So I did something myself instead. While she has little time for chit-chat, she gets satisfaction from speaking to big audience about climate change. Regardless of the size of the crowd, she says she does not feel the least bit nervous. She seems incapable of the cognitive dissonance that allows other people to lament what is happening to the climate one minute, then tuck into a steak, buy a car, or fly off for a weekend break the next. Although Thunberg believes political action far outweighs individual changes to consumer habits, she lives her values. She's vegan and only travels abroad by train.
So admirable.
Yeah. I started flying after the fires again, but
it's hard. I mean, you have to get around somehow, and you know, you just you know, you want to take the train. In my youth, took the train very frequently, but at a certain point, you reach this practicality standpoint, and you have to go, Is it worth it to fly and weigh the cost-benefit analysis? But this young lady really puts her money where her mouth is. I'm so impressed. Absolutely impressed.
Yeah. At its best, this sharpness can slice through the Gordian knot of the climate debate. It can also sting. There are no comfortable reassurances in her speech, just a steady frankness. Asked whether she has become more optimistic because the climate issue has risen up the political agenda and politicians in the U.S. and Europe are considering Green New Deals that would ramp up the transition to renewable energy, her reply is brutally honest. Nope. I am no more hopeful than when I started. The emissions are increasing, and that is the only thing that matters. I think that needs to be our focus. We can't talk about anything else. Some people consider this a threat. A handful of fossil fuel lobbyists, politicians, and journalists have argued that Thunberg is not what she seems, that she was propelled into prominence by environmental groups and sustainable business interests. They say the entrepreneur who first tweeted about the climate strike, Ingmar Rentzog, used Thunberg's name to raise investment for his company. But her father says the connection was overblown. Greta, he says, initiated the strike before anyone in the family had heard of Rentzog. As soon as she found he had used her name without her permission, she cut all links with the company and has since vowed never to be associated with commercial interests. Her family says she has never been paid for her activities. In a recent interview, Rentzog defended his actions, denied exploiting Greta, and says that climate change, not profit, was his motive. On social media, there have been other crude attacks on Thunberg's reputation and appearance. Already familiar with bullying from school, she appears unfazed. I expected when I started that if this is going to be bigger, then there will be a lot of hate, she says. In a positive sign, I think that must be because they see us as a threat. That means that something has to change in this debate, and we are making a difference. She intends to strike outside Parliament every Friday until the Swedish government's policies are in line with the Paris Climate Agreement. This has led to what she calls strange contrasts, balancing her maths homework with her fight to save the planet, listening attentively to teachers and decrying the immaturity of world leaders, weighing up the existential threat of climate change alongside the agonizing choice of what subjects to study in high school. It can be grueling. She still gets up at 6 a.m. to get ready for school. Interviews and writing speeches can leave her working 12 to 15-hour days. Of course, it takes a lot of energy. I don't have much spare time, but I just keep reminding myself why I'm doing this, and then I just try to do it as much as I can. So far, this does not appear to have affected her academic performance. She keeps up with homework and is in the top five in her class, according to her father. And now that she is active on climate, she is no longer lonely, no longer silent, no longer so depressed. She is too busy trying to make a difference and enjoying herself. This Friday, when she takes her usual spot outside the Swedish Parliament, she will be joined by classmates and students from other schools. It's going to be very, very big internationally, with hundreds of thousands of children going to strike from school to say that we aren't going to accept this anymore, she says. I think we are only seeing the beginning. I think that change is on the horizon and that people will stand up for the future. And then the activist slips back into being a teenager. I'm looking forward to it and to see all the pictures the day afterwards. It's going to be fun.
Wow. That's an amazing portrait of her and how strong she is. I'm just amazed.
Yep, and that was from The Guardian, written by Jonathan Watts, just so you know. Yeah, like, in my opinion, after being a substitute teacher, like, that silly saying, kids say the darndest things. Well, like, they say the most hard-hitting things. They say the most real things. Like, one of the best things I've heard from a student was this last semester when I was like, what do you all want out of school? Like, what do you think a good change would be? And it doesn't really have to do with climate change, but one of them was like, we should get paid because this is like our job.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty valid. I mean, right? School is your job. You're supposed to be committed to it, and you're supposed to be, you know, dedicating all this energy to it. But you need some sort of compensation as you're going through school and as you're, you know, going through the process.
Yeah. And so, like, I think it actually does hit on this a little, because from her background, it sounds like she comes from a more well-to-do family, and she has the accessibility of all this information and probably more time free to look into this kind of stuff instead of worrying about, are my parents going to be able to feed me today?
Right.
Are we going to have our electricity cut off and that kind of thing? So we do have to look at that kind of thing, too, when we look at other people's stories who are able to do activist stuff and not be like, oh, if you're not being an activist and you're a student, why aren't you doing that? Because she's able to do that.
Right, right. But it's a matter of how privileged you are and what how much you can expend mental resources. And if your needs are taken care of, you're going to have more energy to expend mental resources. So it sounds like she does come from a privileged background, but gosh, is she utilizing that privilege in a monumental way.
Definitely. So I'm not saying all you kids need to go do this, although it would be cool.
It would be cool.
But, like, I think doing this kind of thing, especially as youth, it really helps us adults look at the future and look at these kids' future and be like, oh, crap, we really need to fix stuff because this isn't very fair.
Yeah, it brings it home. It really does because, I mean, if youth can do all this work, what does that say about us as adults that aren't doing that kind of work?
Definitely. Thank you, Nicholas. And I'm going to read our underwriters for this half hour. We've got Youth for Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Friends of the Arts, a state-local partnership to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, the True North Tour, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. That's friendsoftheartsupstate.org. Friends of the Arts, that's plural, upstate.org. And by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers are also available, as well as natural and holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico across from Bidwell Mansion. So, got that out of the way. Back to Greta, and we're getting set up with our live music tonight, which will be coming up in a few minutes. I think it's about the Chico Bike Festival coming up. You hear about that yet?
I've heard a little bit about it. I'm excited for the next half hour because you get to be educated and informed about stuff that's going on in our local community, and I'm always learning more from KZFR all the time.
Oh yeah. So, going back to Greta a little more, what can we do in Chico regarding this? I know there's a few things going on.
Well, I know climate uprising is going on. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as far as youth goes, we probably just need to spread the word and get it out there. I know, Inspire School would probably be very big in this. Chico High would probably be very big into this, Pleasant Valley. It's just a matter, I think, of spreading the word, because I think young people are interested in these causes, But I just don't think they know about them. I remember in my younger days, it was the war in Iraq that was the big issue. And I wasn't really, I was activist-minded because I raised myself on the Beatles and did a bunch of other things like that. But I wasn't inspired to move until I saw other people around me being inspired to move. So I think it's a matter of getting that information out there and saying, hey, you're young, you're strong, you can do this. And I think as adults, we got to do the best we can to lead by example as well.
Definitely. Like she was saying, you can do the personal things, but also going out there and spreading the word about how things are and talking about changes we can make in our personal lives, like her parents going vegan and not driving as much to, you know, just having reusable things.
Yeah, just it's all those. I think with climate change, it's, yeah, there's big things that need to be done, but there's a lot of small things that can be done on a daily basis, too. And that's real important, and it, I think it all adds up collectively.
Yeah. One thing I know going on locally, political-wise, is the bill, the state bill that some of the city councilors weren't going to.
Oh, AB 430,
you
yes.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah. That was so like, controversial. Oh, my gosh. The city council sessions, I attended a lot of those, and they were, you could see the room split in half. It was that divisive.
Did anyone bring up kids and how the environment is something they're going to be inheriting?
I don't remember that coming up at all. Yeah. I just remember it being a very short-sighted, very... very limited debate along political lines, I'll put it that way.
Okay. It brings up this little anecdote I had experienced in prison during one of these nonviolence workshops I do. We were going around a circle talking about scenario we presented to everyone, and one of the guys inside is going to get out soon and wants to be a youth counselor.
Oh, that's great. That's yeah. Awesome.
And one of the, and this scenario was, you see like three teenage kids beating up on, or maybe beating up on another one in a abandoned street. You can't see if the kid's just being played around with or if it's actual like serious. What do you do? And a lot of the guys were like, I'm gonna stay out of that. If I'm on parole, I don't want to deal with anything police
related. They don't want to get involved and risk arrest or risk being put back into the system again effectively.
Yeah. And then the whole boys will be boys idea too, but then he came up and he's like, no, I think we should, instead of being loyal to our gangs, we should be loyal to kids. We should start living for and thinking about consciously all of our decisions and how they will affect the people who are younger than us coming up in the world and what we're leaving to them. He's like, I'd rather stick up for some random kid than my gangs, because this is a kid who's innocent. He hasn't maybe done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And, like, instead of this loyalty to these more traditional adult groupings, you don't hear very much of, oh, we got to do this for the kids. And maybe you do, but I don't see it. I hear it.
I don't see it or hear it very much either. And it goes back to what I said earlier. Lead by example. You got to remember that the youth is out there and they're watching, they're paying attention.
Yeah. That goes for these politicians, too, and the decisions they're making or not making, which I think, yeah, we can do all the individual stuff all day, but it really comes down to these big corporations, the military, and governmental organizations wasting resources, abusing land, abusing people, abusing everything. So, with all that, we'll get into something maybe a little more cheery, like music.
Upbeat stuff? Why?
Upbeat
How
stuff?
Dare we?
So, what do we got there?
Well, we got, you know, we're doing a Ford promo. You know, we had Nikki Sierra on a few days ago on another show I did. We're promoting the Chico Bike Music Festival. That's this Saturday, 3rd and Flume. It starts it off. Nikki Sierra, 11 a.m., and then Thunderlump on the back up to Cedar Grove. And then Cedar Grove, you got Brand Crown, Kyle Williams. And in the studio, we actually have Cameron Ford. He's going to be live on the bike to End of Normal. And then you're going to get to hear and see Ants in My Eyes, Johnson, Mukatite, Triple Tree, Bungo, and Pat Hell Band. So that's all free, and it's put on by the Butte Environmental Council. As I understand, I think this is their 10th year anniversary. So
what?
Yeah, huh? That's pretty sick. Speaking of sick, well, you're not sick. You're here. Cameron's here. Cameron Ford. Welcome to KZFR, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
On?
I don't know.
One, two.
Put the Yamaha on. Yeah, there you go.
All right.
We should be on there now.
In
the
studio.
Trial and error. We'll get it right.
I can't. No.
No.
You can't?
I can't.
No. I can't hear it either.
You guys hear me? Okay, good. Good thing it's just.
1 second. What do you want to talk about, Nicholas, for a few seconds?
Well, we have been talking about housing issues a lot on The Big Idea, and this is certainly relevant to what's going on with the campfire, and I think youth are definitely impacted by environmental issues and housing issues, and really, if you don't get your shelter right, that's going to impact family, and it's going to impact your stability, and it's going to impact your ability to go to school and to get an education and to grow up and really go somewhere.
I can hear a little bit, but yeah, the Orange Street Shelter would definitely help out.
Oh, absolutely! The Walmart funding fell through. I haven't heard the latest update on that, but oh man, would that have helped a lot?
It's on.
All right, we're back. Cameron Ford. I'm pretty sure we can hear you now.
Yeah.
I can hear
myself.
Alphabet.
Oh. What about now? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hey,
okay. There we go.
Red button.
Yeah.
Red button, baby. That's a new song.
We're
coming out.
Yes.
Gamma Mash.
KZFR Soundcheck.
Welcome, Cameron Ford. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me.
So you were really excited about this new mix you put together that you got here on your phone, man.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Why don't you lead us into that, then we'll come back in and we'll do some live stuff, man.
Yeah, I've been working on a new album. It's called Beatles and Chill. And this is Beatles and Chill here, so I want to show you Blackbird before I actually start playing live. So this is Beatles and Chill. Sorry, that was probably loud.
There we go, Beatles and Chill.
yeah. There we go.
That was really solid. You were really excited. Tell us, our listeners, a little about how excited you are to get that song out there. The premiere right there, baby.
I'm exhausted. I've been, staying up really late and getting up really, really early. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
We're working on it. We're trying.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
Yeah, I've been staying up really late and working on that. And I'm putting together a full 10-song Beatles and Chill album under the name Yoga Beats. So anybody out there who's enjoying some of those Beatles instrumentals that you just heard, go ahead and look me up at yogabeatsmusic.com because it's going to be pretty fun when it comes out.
That sounds awesome.
We also got Ron Topi, man. He's going to give us a little insight on the Chico Bike Music Festival, and then we're going to hear Cameron Ford. That's a different person.
That happens my entire life.
Is it? I bet you it has.
Yes, it does.
All right, Ron.
So are we going to hear those Beatles tunes at the Bike Music Fest on Saturday?
No Beatles tunes at the bike festival, no. That's going to be a lot of Foo Fighters, a lot of Nirvana, and a lot of Cameron Ford originals.
All right, yeah. Cameron's going to be doing live on bike performance between Cedar Grove and a Normal.
Indeed.
On Saturday. So if you catch us at Cedar Grove around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you can catch Cameron live on bicycle. He'll be sitting on a pedicab.
Yeah.
With a portable sound system, wireless mic, riding through Chico with probably, last year there was over 300 cyclists in the bike parade, so this year we're hoping for more. So if you see a huge group of cyclists moving through town on Saturday and you're on your bike, join in and listen to some tunes by Cameron.
There's no doubt there's going to be more this year.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you guys asked me back.
Yeah, so there'll be another live on-bike performance by Thunderlump at 11:30, and we'll be between 3rd and Flume and Cedar Grove on our way from 3rd and Flume to Cedar Grove. Nikki Sierra will be kicking things off at 11 at 3rd and Flume. And then once we get to the end of Normal Street, we'll have the music starts at 3 p.m. over there, and we'll have Answer My Eyes Johnson, Mukatite, Triple Tree, Bungo, and the Pat Hull Band. It's going to go till 7 p.m. There's going to be all kinds of vendors, lots of food vendors, and local artists and crafters. Come out Saturday. And bring your bike and join in at any time of the route between 3rd and Flume or out at Cedar Grove or out at the end of Normal at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we could use people that pedal, too. It's all pedal-powered, right?
Yeah, and you know, this show is called Youth for Change. And,
Youth for Justice, yeah.
Youth for Justice. This is one way youth can help make a difference out there is get on your bikes. Get on your bikes and ride and join us out there and see what it's like to actually use your bicycle to be the power.
Be the power.
Because all the music is powered by bicycle on this day. And come out and check it out.
I went to this event once, 4 or 5 years ago. It was awesome. Bring your trike, bring your bike, bring your unicycle if you can go that far. They have stops where usually they get everyone off and set up some stationary bikes that power it all. Basically, you just said that. And what I really like about riding in huge groups like that, it's kind of feels like we're in some sort of group, like a fish school or a group of birds flying through the air where you can just feel how we're all a community and no one's really a leader. We're all just
some sort of collective consciousness sort of thing. That sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
Critical mass.
Whew. You know, I was on the cusp of going or not going. I'm in now.
Do it.
I'm in.
Bring a trike.
What was it again? What'd you say, Nicholas? It was what?
Collective consciousness.
Collective consciousness. Awesome. Speaking of collective consciousness, man, let's get some of these tunes out over the airways,
Oh, Cameron. My goodness. I feel like I need to, switch gears and play some Pink Floyd or something.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, man. You guys want some Shine On, You Crazy Diamond?
Remember when you were young.
Okay. This song is called Three Peg Stool, and it goes out to a friend of mine named Mark Friesen. He's a big KZFR fan. He's been working at the bookstore in the basement for 30 years, and he's my new friend who I work with over there, and I gave him this CD, and he likes this song, so it goes out to you, Mark. I'll see you on Saturday, bud. Suddenly, possibly the greatest possibly fell into my lap like a lazy bear trap, and I'm just sitting here waiting like a fool on a three-peg stool, and you know exactly where I'm going, and it's gonna be a lazy day, so throw it all away. And you won't find me in a place like that. There's people dying to meet me. You gotta have an ounce of class. You won't find me in a place like that. You won't find me in a place like that. But I'm just sitting here on a three-peg stool, waiting for a knock on the door from you know who. The door from you know who. Place like that, there's people dying to meet me. You gotta have an ounce of class. You won't find me in a place like that. You won't find me in a place like that. But I'm just sitting here on a three-peg stool, waiting for a knock on the door from you know who.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Bravo.
Heck yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I've got some more underwriters, and then we'll let you play another song, cool, if you can. Thank you. Youth for Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the second annual Sundial Music Fest on the banks of the Sacramento River at Riverfront Park in Redding. Friday, June 21st. At 5:30 p.m. Music includes country from Oroville's Inside Straight, world jazz from Dunismuir's Allison Scholl and Victor and the Midnight Band, and Redding's own reggae sensation, One Soul. Tickets information at ShastaArtsCouncil.org and at the Music Connection in Chico. And by Hasbin's Coffee and Tea Company, specialty coffee roasters and purveyors of fine tea for over 40 years. Hasbin offers hot and cold drinks and fresh baked pastries at 1080 Humboldt Avenue in Chico. For wholesale pricing on catering services, visit hasbins.com or email info@hasbins.com. Again, we're here with
Cameron Ford.
Cameron Ford, who's going to be playing at the Chico Bicycle Music Festival this weekend.
That's right. Excited about the show. It's not every day that you get a chance to play while you're actually on like a towed bicycle situation. And also it's a wireless setup, so it's two setups where you're playing while you're actually in like this sort of carriage ride on like a wireless mic, and then there's a wireless PA system that goes along with you. And I've never done that before last year, and I get to say it's the second time I'm doing it now, which is more than most musicians can say. So,
do you feel a bit like a king?
Yeah, it's fun. No, you get nervous for the first couple of songs, but then eventually you get out there and you're kind of like, it's kind of like being on like a boat. You just, once you're out there, you're kind of committed to it and you're like, okay, let's do some songs. So come on out Saturday.
Saturday, Third and Flume at 11 a.m. is when it starts. So be there at 11, Cedar Grove at 12, and the End of Normal at 3 p.m. this Saturday, June 8th, 2019, Chico Bicycle Music Festival. Thank you, Cameron Ford. You got another song for us?
Yeah, I'll do... this song is like 25 years old and was written by a local Chico band called The Hats. And it's called Downtown. And The Hats is made up of a couple of people who I know. Sylvia Massey, who produced some Tool records and did a lot of record producing. But she's also like a Chico local alumni, kind of like, you know, one of the more famous people who came from like the 70s from Chico. And another friend of mine named Scott Pressman, Scott T, from Brutilicus Maximus. I can't remember the other band members' names, but I know them too, so this one goes out to them. It's called Downtown, and they might have like an acid flashback as a result of hearing it, but that's okay.
Thank you, Cameron Ford.
Chico, polarized sunglasses, name brand sandals, the right conversation gets you all that you can handle in the bars to the car. To Bidwell Park, watch the stars. If you play all your cards right, you'll find a new friend to take home tonight. And when she gets bored and walks out that door,
throwback song there.
Boom.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm sitting here thinking, can you record that? Because I want to use that for the theme song for my show. Seriously. That's so great.
Yeah, man. I'll record it for you. No
problem. Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah. I got to get permission from Sylvia Mass. From the Hats. Right. There's some royalties that need to be paid out.
Absolutely. Got to pay the songwriters. So important to support songwriters.
That's right.
So we've got about four more minutes before we have to hand it over to Beatle Nation. Do we have another song?
Yeah, I can do another one about Downtown Chico.
All right. Heck yeah. All right. And this is Cameron Ford from the Chico Bike Music Festival that's going on this Saturday starting at 11, Third and Flume.
Yeah. This is another original. This one's called 26. I wrote it when I was 20, so I was 12 years old. And I think I'll be able to remember the lyrics, but I was listening to the band a lot at this time. I saw The Last Waltz, and everything changed. So this is called 26.
Walking around downtown, where everybody money you save. It's only been 6 years since the day when we were taking it slow, but always on the go. We were trying to find a way to be 20 years old without a place to stay. I can see what was going through my mind. I was taking it easy and enjoying the times. Nobody had a good reason to be afraid. Now I'm sitting at the end of the bar, and I'm 26 deep and I'm falling apart. All my friends have decided to depart from me. I think I'm gonna stay comes of you and me. Said I'm gonna stick around just to know. Hey honey, do you think you might have it in you to show me some loving? Too many glances being traded in a crowded room full of faces. And I can't help but think they're all thinking the same things as me. I can't believe what was going through my mind. I was taking it easy and enjoying the times. Nobody had a good reason to be afraid. End of the bar, and I'm 26 deep and I'm falling apart. All my friends have decided to depart from me. I think I'm gonna stick around just to see what becomes of you and me. Said I'm gonna some loving.
All right. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Cameron Ford. He's going to be at the Chico Bike Music Festival Saturday the 8th at 11 3rd and Flume.